Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
Hello, welcome back to the Fairway Fit Podcast. I am Brad and I have Greg here with us, and we are here for episode 3. We are calling this the Myrtle Beach Major. If you were with us last week, we were able to talk about our trip that we took this past weekend, where we went down to Myrtle Beach, about 8 hours away. We played 5 rounds in 3 days. I think our overall, it was a very successful trip, but we are going to review our trip.
Successful.
I would say successful. 5 rounds, 3 days. Nobody got hurt.
I guess successful in the fact that we got through 5 rounds in 3 days, but I'll get into that later.
You take 4 guys down there. We had a lot of fun on and off the course. Nobody got in trouble. We didn't lose anybody. And we all 4 have returned back home. So that's a successful guy.
That is true. That is true.
So I think we need to remember that's what we are here. We're here to have fun. We're here to play a lot of golf and talk about our golf, our commitment that we have made. We are still committed, even after a kind of a tough weekend. We are still committed at getting better at golf. And so let's go through it. Last time we talked a little bit about what our goals were for the year. If I recall right, Greg, one of your goals was to get some rounds in the 70s and try to lower our handicap.
I would say that we went the complete opposite direction in that this weekend. I did not card any rounds in the 70s except for nets, but I did up my handicap by 1.6 in 5 rounds, which is pretty impressive. Up, not down.
We've always said this. I think in any sort of learning process, things get harder before they get easier. So things might get a little bit worse before they get easier. I do think we went in there with some very high expectations. To review my goals, I wanted to shoot an even par round this year, not just this trip. This year was our goals, or these are our yearly goals. And I wanted to lower my handicap, but I was the same. I came out with 0 rounds in the 70s myself. And I also was able to raise my handicap about a half point from when I went down there to when I came back. So
I will say that basically the car ride down, I will say that the confidence levels were high.
I would agree.
I do believe that I said that 100% I'm going to shoot in the 70s this weekend, and that I was going to whip your butt in the major, and full-heartedly believed that. 100% like had, you know, the zoned in, way to go, let's go. I'm going to go out and break 79 on the first round at Willowbrook, and it's going to be a great start to the weekend. Do you want to tell the listeners what your precedent was against me on the car ride down?
My precedent? What it was that
you set a standard that you said, I'm willing to bet that you what?
Hold on here. Before we get into that part of the trip, I wanted to touch
base.
What, the
car ride down?
Yeah, we're not quite there onto the trip yet. I wanted to touch base a little bit about what we were going to talk about as the episode ended last time. We were talking a little bit about our bet, best way to say it, what we were going to do through the year to hold ourselves accountable, to challenge ourselves, play as much competitive golf.
Man-to-man bet. We didn't throw it on, there isn't a bookie. There isn't a book that we keep. Sure. It's just a man-to-man bet. Shake hands.
Yeah, definitely. But we want to keep it interesting as we're going down. And this was the start of it. I know one thing we talked about, we haven't quite named the dates or labeled them all down, but we want to have 5 major rounds where we're putting all our marbles in the bowl there. We're trying to, shoot our lowest scores. We did have one this weekend, which we'll talk about. So we have 4 more majors throughout the year. That's how we want to do a point system. Each major is going to be worth a point. With our combination, the combination of everything coming to an end at the end of this year, where we have our final major, and that's going to be big doing. That's going to be something I know we're going to be working forward to. And hopefully we'll already hit our yearly goals by then and playing our best golf. But we want to end the year with a big competition, either if it's a big trip, but whatever it may be, like the tour championship for the pros. Another thing we wanted to do is we want to have a year-long battle of our golf season. With our jobs, we're a lot more open in the summer. So we're going to have our summer season. And this is something we talked about earlier today, where we're going to have not have to play together, but every week we're going to take one round per week and we're going to put a point for that round. And that would be about 10 weeks long. We have a season called our Summer Swing. We're going to have 10 weeks where we go through the first round per week. We will talk about here on air, and hopefully we have some nice low scores where we're competitive and using our handicaps, because that's going to be the best way to keep things as even as we can.
100% now.
We'll be able to see who wins the summer season. If you win the summer season, you would get a point. And then, of course, with our goal of really lowering our handicaps, whoever can lower, take a lower percentage of our handicap, and we may have to figure out that details a little bit more, would also do a point. So we got like a 7-point season, kind of got like our golf World Series. Obviously, I was going to throw
baseball into it. I love it.
Had to throw baseball in there. So we'll have our golf World Series. And then, of course, the best of seven, takes home the prize. And
I think a couple of rounds I did bat for the cycle, considering I did probably have a single, a double, a triple, quad, and possibly a home run.
Yeah, but we'll figure out the bet. We'll have it all up. We'll post it up on our website once we get everything live and going here. But I think that's going to be our golf year. And we're going to play probably more rounds of that together. We're going to play a ton of rounds probably where we are at opposite places. But, you know, just trying to making sure that every round counts. We're playing for something serious. And also, and you're going to hear me say this a lot over this episode, is we want to make sure that we're having a lot of fun while we're doing it.
And capital F, capital U, capital N.
And so that kind of gets us going here, where we now want to, you know, let's reflect like what you brought up. Let's talk a little bit about our Myrtle Beach trip. We played 5 actually really nice courses. I was very pleased with the rounds we got in.
Oh, I love the courses.
The only thing we did battle were conditions. We did go down there with some fear of a lot of rain. I think in the 90 holes we played, we got rained on maybe about 3, maybe 4 holes if you want to do some sprinkles here and there. But overall, we really lucked out with the rain. As far as the
day one, we had to battle some wind.
A little bit, I would agree. But as far as conditions wise, boy, were those courses wet. I don't know if I've ever played so many consecutive rounds with sweat feet. I fell in a hole one time that didn't really help out. I tried to help the lady out, get her some money for her fundraiser.
The Folds of Honor lady was right there with a towel to towel you down and then still take your $40 challenge coin and a sleeve of Pro V1Xs.
Yeah. When I got home on Sunday, Courtney's like, why is your ankle so slow? And I was like, I fell in a hole. I don't really remember it hurting me. I don't know if I had the adrenaline going just because we were in our major round at that time. But yeah, the conditions were wet. I still think my bag might be wet. I think the clubs were wet. I mean, it just, everything around us was wet. It was cart path only, which just makes it a little bit different when you're going out there with 3, sometimes 4 clubs in the rangefinder and the towel. And
Billy took his bag off the cart plenty of times and just walked across with an entire bag. It baffled me.
The first couple of times I was like, man, that's not a bad idea. But then after the 10th or 11th time, I'm like, come on, buddy, what are we doing here? I think he just got used to it. He kept it up the whole time. But yeah, conditions were tough. I think the rounds are great. I'd have to really do put Caledonia Golf Course. Appreciate them having us out. I do think they were by far the most interesting layout. That's the one course we talked about going down that we've heard the most about. I did like True Blue, which was that afternoon round. I think after a tighter course like Caledonia, opening up to True Blue, which was a little bit more open, kind of made the day feel great. And I think that was our best weather day.
I would love to play True Blue where I wasn't playing the last 3 holes in like twilight.
Yeah, it did get a little bit. But we did have the best, I think the sun finally came out.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We had sun a majority of that round, which was great.
They had some really good
welcome change from day one.
Yeah, they had some really good risk-reward holes, where I'm not sure if Caledonia's was as risk-reward. It was, I don't know, we did make the courses a little bit tougher, I think, than they are. So we may have a little bit of negativity towards a couple of them. But overall, I thought it was a great round, a great trip. I loved it. I will say, and I wonder if you want to agree to this. Now, we've played golf together for 10 plus years. We've played a lot of golf together. I'd have to say our intensity levels were a little higher than norm. Would you agree to that?
Oh, 100%. I think at any given moment throughout any of these five rounds, if you told me that I could snap every club in my bag and it be fixed by morning, I probably would have done it.
Yeah, I but I'm not even just talking about golf. I think head to head, we were more competitive. I don't know if it's we wanted to go out and prove something. I don't know what it was. It felt different. It just felt different this time.
There were some daggers thrown back and forth, some cutting words that we were throwing back and forth rather than the atypical or the typical, like, great shot, yeah. Like cheering for each other on, being each other's biggest hype man. I would say there were some times where we would be like, there's definitely some times where I was just like, in back of my head, just, can you please just shank this into the woods? And you didn't, unfortunately you didn't, but.
Yeah, I'm not really sure because I like to think that I didn't get that way, but I do know competitive nature does take over a lot of times. And it wasn't like I wanted, I don't know. It was just weird. It was just different than I think we've ever done before. I know when I got home and the wife asked, how was the trip? I was like, it was awesome, but it was just different than the trips we've done in the past. And I do think that's something we need to make sure we don't do.
There was a heightened, it was heightened. It was the first major of this challenge and it was Thunderdome there. It was two men enter, one man leave.
So agreed. And it was, and I think let's be honest, I think there's a lot of similarities in us. There's a lot of differences in us and that's why we're such good friends. I do think the similarities is that we've had such success in our lives. We understand that you've got to work hard for it. Nothing really has been given to either of us. And a lot of different things that we've done, we know we need to outwork them. And I think we went in there with just some expectations that were unrealistic.
I will say that this might have been the highest expectations I've ever gone into a golf trip with. And that I am going to learn from and adjust in future.
Yeah. Oh, I have learned from everything written down on my notes here quite a few times. And I think that was the big case, but our expectations were different for each of us. I have been able to play a little bit more golf. I have been able to get out and hit balls. So like I've been actually putting in a little bit of work that I've never really put in before. And I've had success in golf. If we wanted to knock out those percentages, only like 5% of people can shoot under 80 that play golf. Well, I've been there. I've been able to do that. I've done it with when I'm not hitting the ball well, and I've shot high rounds when I am hitting the ball well. So I felt, man, I have put some practice in. I have hit balls on the range. I putt, I chip, I've played. I hadn't played a tremendous amount, but I've played. So I had these expectations in my head. And I know you had some expectations as well, too. I will tell you, me being able to put some of that practice in, and you telling me what you were going to do without hitting a ball, I really think that's where my competitive nature kicked in and be like, no. And yes, I probably made a pretty bold statement saying that I had a feeling you were going to shoot multiple rounds in triple digits before you would shoot something in the 70s. Because I know I've put a little bit of practice in it and I was seriously thinking I can shoot. Like a bad round was going to be right around 80, which ended up being my best round. And you haven't hit a ball and you were going to shoot the same thing as me.
You got to walk that line between cocky and confident. And
I would agree. I would agree. And I know you do that. I mean, I was a ball player. When I stepped in the box, nobody was better than me. Even if the guy threw 100 miles an hour, I still was better than him. I just needed to be for one swing better than him. And I don't know. I think that kind of rubbed me wrong. So my daggers were, dude, you haven't hit a ball. I know how hard golf is. You have been, your mind's been preoccupied with everything you're doing at work and coaching and everything. And where I was living what I wanted to be. I think I'm a month in front of you as far as being mentally prepared. And I don't know. It got to me. And when I will say I struggled with my ball striking, I wasn't rolling in putts. If I was, it was making for bogeys. I couldn't eliminate big numbers, but I will. And I think we need to make a promise to each other We cannot let our competitive juices get in front
of us. Keep it cordial. Keep it cordial. Yeah. Keep it friendly.
Because I will say, as much as I want to hit my goals, I want to see you hit your goals just as bad. And I want us to be able to go out and just be play some great golf, if it's either at the same time or if it's we compete in tournaments and different things. But I definitely, we let it get ahead of us a little bit. And you could tell it was
100%.
Even when we weren't on the golf course, it was like, dude, it was like a little bit on the edge the whole time. And it's now, if we would have both went out and were lights out, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. I definitely think we struggled. Let's be honest. Our ball striking wasn't there. There was zero consistency from either of us. I let things bother me with this whole handicap, giving strokes here, not giving strokes there. And I have reasons why. And I've read plenty of articles. I'm sitting at the most frustrating handicap because you're playing with people that think you should shoot in the 70s when I'm still trying to shoot in the 70s. I don't get shots when you get a shot. So I'm like, I'm scoring what I'm supposed to on every hole. Not every hole, but on a hole, I get a par and you're getting a bogey, but you're tying me. And it's, dude, when do I ever get a break to make a bad shot? And I don't get a break to make a bad shot. And it just, it bothered me. And I'm telling you, that thing there probably cost me a couple strokes aside.
It really chapped your cheeks when basically I was playing at a 17 on one course.
It's not even that it was a 17. It's that if you took my 8 or my 9, that gives you 8 shots. I mean, you had 8 holes to make a bad shot and still shoot and report a 4 on the scorecard, where I had 0 holes. And yeah. I'm not a scratch golfer. I almost felt like in order to beat anybody, I had to play as a scratch golfer. So not only going down there with high expectations, I raised them knowing that I felt like I had to be perfect. And so when I made a bad shot, although I don't think I had a lot of like back-to-back type bad stuff, but it was just, it got me. And I did tell Anthony about it and he was like completely understood. And it was like, he goes, I get it, dude. He goes, but you're really good. I'm like, dude, I'm not that good. I just happen to be a few shots better than you guys.
You're just really good around us.
Not even just,
I mean, I will say I might be the only person in the history of golf to card a birdie and an eagle in a 9 and finish at 49 on that same 9. That's talk about like lack of consistency. I think that might steal the cake when in 2 holes of your 9 holes, you card your 3 under and somehow shoot a 12 over.
Yeah, we just had bad holes and we just couldn't recover from them. I would go for 3 or 4 holes. I'm like, all right, I figured it out. And then it would be like double, triple. And I'm like, what happened? I wouldn't even lose a ball. And it was double, triple. I will tell you, the bunkers were extremely difficult to figure out.
The waste bunkers?
Washed out. And it was even the greenside stuff. I just could not figure out had to pick it clean, splash it out. I was so inconsistent. And I felt like if I hit one, I literally would hit a bunker from 150 yards out. And it was like, oh my gosh, instead of trying to get up and down, I was trying not to double bogey the hole. And it was, before you knew it, I double bogeyed the hole. I did walk up on 18 on True Blue, which was my best round. I'm in the center of the fairway from 95 yards out, a birdie to shoot 77, 78, a par to shoot 79. And I ended up, it would have been better. I actually doubled to shoot 80. So it would have been 77, 78. And I doubled it to shoot 80.
That's when you put it in that backside bunker, right?
I did. And then I tried to get out, rolled in the water, chipped it close and tapped in for double. And it was just like, you got to be kidding me. And I will say, I think until the last round, I got a little wayward off the tee. I think I was just swinging a little bit more aggressive than I was. I actually thought I hit my longer stuff better than I hit my more straighter than I hit my scoring clubs. And it was driving me nuts. I don't know how many bogeys or double bogeys I had from the center of the fairway, or maybe not center, but had looks in, and I just could not figure things out. Where I think on the flip side, I think you struggled. The tee ball was just,
oh God. Yeah. I mean, 100%.
I know. I don't know if you have.
Your I don't think
fairways and regulations.
I don't have the exact, but I did not get above 20% fairways and reg on any of the courses that we played. Now, granted, like I keep it that if you're a foot off, you're a foot off. Like I'm not. I like there's some guys that I know that will say fairway and reg is. Okay, I found my ball.
You have a look.
15,
yeah.
It's 15 feet off the fairway, but it's a good look. They're going to call that a fairway and rec. Me, if I'm in the short stuff, okay, it's fairway. If I'm a foot off and I'm in the first cut, okay, that's not a fairway and rec. I'm to the right.
Yeah, so, no, I am too, because I'd really, those stats, I'm more about greens and regulations than I am fairways and regulations. But I will tell you, like, the course was soaking wet. And we weren't hitting fairways. I mean, there was balls we were pulling out of the ground. They were plugging almost a full fall deep at times. And we still couldn't keep it even where close to the short grass.
Right.
Like, I felt like my misses. Now, there's a lot of times I think when the course is hard and out, we'll hit fairways and we roll off into the first cut, or maybe even to the start of the rough cut. But like, I wasn't even, my misses weren't even giving myself a chance to hold playable spots. And man, it was crazy. It just was a very different round, I think, for both of us. You definitely, as the weekend went on, I saw a guy that hasn't swung the golf club very much. Obviously, those first couple rounds, we go out with, I'm not really sure how it's going to work. You put the ball out there, but man, it got to a point where you were topping balls. You were doing things that you don't do very well.
Oh, I would say that I did not feel comfortable over a golf ball for 5 rounds straight. Like I couldn't tell you if I hit a beautiful shot. I couldn't tell you what I did to make it happen. I couldn't tell you what I did wrong every once in a while I'd feel when I did something wrong when I would have a mishit shot, but literally, I had no feel whatsoever. I couldn't tell what I was doing. It was just totally uncomfortable over a ball and no consistency whatsoever. Trying to change.
And I know my numbers were a little bit better, but I felt very similar. I felt when I had the mindset to make a good strike, I caught a lot of balls on the thin side, and even my ball flight seemed very low. But I actually
100% low. It looked like you were trying to play the wind, everything.
But I was getting away with it a lot, and I was holding some greens. So really, thank you to our boy setting us up with our irons, our boy Larry getting us out, getting me fit. I definitely feel like it wasn't equipment. It definitely was my mishits with my new equipment were actually playable to some degree. That was why my rounds stayed somewhat close. I even hit the driver, actually thought pretty well for the most part. And I knew when I missed, I knew what I did. There were a couple of times I had some 9 irons in my hand where I felt like I was a pretzel at the top of the swing and I don't know what I did, but you know, the more I reflect and the more I look back at it, and if I can take the scoring numbers out, I actually am not that disappointed with everything. And I think it's going to give us, both of us, not just myself, a mindset of what needs to be done to get better. It's a tough freaking game out there, and we tried to do it with minimal practice, and we tried to do it with you didn't swing as much as I did, but even I just thought it was going to translate from a couple practice sessions, because when I look back at it, as much as I thought I was going a lot, which I think I was for the general purposes, I really wasn't going enough, put it that way. And it was tough. It was tough, but I love to compete. I do have to, I am happy to take home the first major. I wish it was a little bit of a closer match. I think,
good Lord.
We did do 36 hole match play. I know after day one, I pushed for the 36 holes because I think it gave a good opportunity for yourself to figure things out and then keep it along. And it also gave me a little leeway if I got into a bad stretch. I thought we'd keep it competitive. I did take a big lead and just held on until the time kind of expired. I don't really remember the score when it comes over to it.
It was 9-8.
Yeah, that's in my head.
We made the turn and I was still alive, but right. I had to go. I had a lot of work on that back 9, but I think you won 9-8.
Yeah. So over the 36 holes, I was able to take home the first major. I'm proud. Yay. I won. I'm ready for the next one. I want to play it where it's more competitive, where we're a little bit happier in different things.
One thing I'll take away from this is the fact that there was multiple times where I had an opportunity to play it safe and just hit an eye. Like, I'll bring up the eagle that I had. Was I had everyone else laid up around the corner until you were up there. You were up there, obviously. You, granted, I was 40 yards behind you at this point. But everybody else laid up to that corner rather than attacking over the water and onto the green. And I basically just said, I was like, not only do I really need to do this, but I can do this. And pulled out a 3-hybrid and just said, screw it, I'm going to go for it. And had the confidence with it and just put a good swing on it. Came close to holing out. That would have been money.
Yeah, you went eagle birdie, right? Or birdie eagle?
I went eagle and then two holes later birdie.
Okay.
Yeah. I do believe there might have been a double and a double in between, but we'll talk about that later.
That was when I actually kept my round because I had 3 birdies on that 9. I think I went birdie. I birdied on your eagle, and then I birdied. I was able to tap
it. You birdied on the par 3 before that.
Before, yeah. So, yeah, there was a lot of positives. There was still a lot of good shots. I actually thought your wedge distances were pretty solid. I did have some thoughts in my head when you were standing over with the wedge and you were giving up a stroke. I'm like, man, this could be Greg struggle, chunk it, or he's going to put it pretty close. And you actually put a lot of, when you had that contact you were looking for, you did make some pretty solid shots. Heck, I think on the last hole of the whole tournament, you drove one, split the fairway, and then you put one to probably about 15 feet. On the next one, maybe a wedge, maybe a 9-iron. I don't remember. I was
part of it. I always seem to finish strong on all of our rounds. Start fast and then slow down the entire next 14 holes, and then I'd somehow pull it back together for 17 and 18.
Yeah. So I would agree. I'd go back to our expectations. But again, we are the type of people to have successful mindsets, and we went down there. And we were excited. And let's be all honest. Why were we so excited? Because, man, we looked good.
100%.
We were able to pick up our first line of our clothes from Fairway Fit. And I tell you what, I can't, I'm the more traditional on the golf course. And I have broken through to pull in some things with between the two of us. That was a big step for me. And I was able to wear some things, and I've got the hoodies on. I've got our clothes on. Still a little bit more traditional than you, but I tell you what, between the two of us, we looked good out there.
100%.
And if nobody saw us hit our shots, they would have been like, dude, those guys are players right there. And that is, so that is probably the biggest pro that we could take out of it. Man, we looked good. We still look good. I know I've been working out in my stuff, and we're going to talk about fitness in these podcasts and really go through it. But man, we look good on the course.
100%. I would say that I went a little more non-traditional than I normally do on the golf course. I did just like, I went comfortability on the golf course during the cold stuff. We've already touched base on episode 1 that when it drops below 70, I'm usually in a hoodie. But now, soft hoodie. Perfectly mobile in it. I was swinging free as much as I could, I guess you could say. I would say that you put me on a handicap as far as looks. I look like I was a 2. And yeah, you watch my swing and follow me throughout the round, you'd figure out that there was something else. But we'll talk about that later as well.
Yeah, we definitely stepped up our apparel game quite a bit, which we are going to offer some of this stuff as we get rolling with our website, which will be up here and running pretty soon. Do check us out for that. But I tell you what, we look good. We brought some good times down to Myrtle. We got some good times down in Myrtle, and we played some phenomenal courses. I could not be more pleased with what we played. If anyone's listening here that goes to Myrtle quite a bit, shoot us in the comments on some courses that you think we should get out and play. We will do our best to get down there. We both have family somewhat in that area, so we're probably going to actually head down in a couple more weeks separately, but try to beat up down there. Shoot us something in the comments more towards the north side of Myrtle Beach, what we should try to play. And I know we're going to try to catch up. And we've talked about that being major two, but we'll get that souls locked down in stone before we get moving forward on what we're going to call our majors and what we're not. But we're definitely going to try to get up and play a little bit there. But I do think it's not a time where we need to panic. Would you agree to that? There's nothing to panic for.
No, not at all.
We need to make sure we go out there. We keep playing. I know I've gotten out. I played 2 9-hole rounds since we've been back. Very wet still. It's been raining a ton here as well. It's supposed to rain all weekend. But I want to ask, when kind of refresh, when we left for Myrtle, I know your positivity factor or your scale was a 7 on being able to reach our goals. After some can say a tough weekend, some can say a golf weekend, but after a fun weekend, where's your scale now?
I'm still at a 7. I think now it's a bigger drop to a single digit, but I would say that the fact that if I can just get consistent, like you take away how many, I wish I could have, I don't have a number of how many times I was dropping 2, hitting 3 off of a tee, then a lot of those rounds dropped to low 80s. It was pretty pathetic as far as me off the tee box this weekend. I still think that I have rounds in the 70s in me. I still think that the single digit handicap by the end of the season might be a little bit more of a change. That might be now I'm dropping down to a 6 or a 5 just because now I got to drop 5 strokes off my handicap in a single season. But do I think I can get back down to a 10 or maybe flirt with a 9? Sure. I'm going to stay at 7.
When we left, you went down as a 14?
13.4.
And you're sitting at a what now?
15.0.
So you went up a stroke and a half.
Yep.
Okay. I'll be honest. I still think single digit is very realistic. It really is. Looking at where I sit and what I normally shoot, I'm not hitting 70s very much. I'm putting it right around that 80 to 82 range. And it keeps me right around a 7.8. I think I'm a 7.5 now. I think I went into the week a 7.1 and I'm at 7.5 now. But I still think your goals are very achievable. I know you went in a 7. It's glad to hear that you're still a 7.
And I think that still with judging by like my grint and whatnot, that basically I have rounds that are up there as well that would fall off as well. So if I throw a round in at an 81 or an 82, it might knock off a 92 or 93 and drop me down right back down to a 13 or something.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I wouldn't, as much as we want to be discouraged because of who we are, we take a lot of pride, I think, in our work ethic. We've not only worked together on the athletic side of things growing up, but we also worked together for about 7 or 8 years at the same school. And I think how hard I take a lot of pride in my work ethic to be able to go out and work hard is the process. I'm more addicted to the process sometimes than the result. And I know fitness wise, got right back at it when I got back. Right. We didn't do much waking up at 5 in the morning. You do got a little bit of light workout in before every day. I did not. My knees have been bothering me, but I needed a little bit of a break. But I got back at it today. Actually, Monday morning, got right back at it. Had a root canal this week, moved forward from that. Still ran today,
You hot tubbed at night, and we did the quick cold plunge in the outdoor pool at the resort that we were staying at.
But we did some things to take care of ourselves. I know I was stretching every morning as well just to get ready for it.
Majority of my workouts are just like a quick cardio, and then I was trying to loosen up the shoulder, so I was doing a lot of stretching and stuff like that with that. So it's not like I was there pumping iron or whatnot. It was quick cardio and then lots of stretching.
You weren't doing the beach workout before the golf tournament?
No. If it was hot out and I was wearing just short sleeves and I had to show the guns off, of course I would have been doing some bicep curls and stuff like that. But other than that, no.
You know, what's funny is that our one buddy who went with us could barely walk by the time we were at about 9 holes left. Actually, just played hit or miss, but he was the one that went down to his plaid pants, wife beater, backwards hat to play one hole. So he's the one that needs to be getting on that beach workout quite
yeah,
a bit.
But, yeah, just a little bit.
Cool. But it was a lot of fun with him as well, too.
He looked like a specimen in that wife beater, though.
I can't. That's a good video. Maybe we'll post that on our social media sometime. We'll have to get his approval on that course first.
Yeah, I do. I do believe I do say his full name, address, and everything that in the video, but maybe not address, but where he's located.
We'll just mute the volume part. We'll just do the video part. But yeah, so I went into the weekend with an 8. I think I'm still at the 8 as well, too. I will say I was able to get out Tuesday in the rain. It was a little bit wet here, but after our work, we met up at for our companies, and then we moved over. I was able to get home. I squeezed 9 holes in before we had to do something. I shot a 40, and that 9 was still hitting, taking one double bogey. So I was kind of, I think that kind of brought me back to saying I could still do this. The ball striking was 10 times better. Even my miss hits, I still was finding the club.
How was the hybrid?
Hybrid was there.
I know that you were struggling with saying that's usually your fairway finder, and you were struggling with that over the weekend.
I was hit the draw. I wasn't upset when I missed. I just was off. I wasn't rolling putts in. Something we both of us can always get better in inside 8 feet or inside 10 feet. We definitely need to roll in more putts. If we're going to be in the 70s, we definitely need to roll in those putts. We can't.
I love burning edges.
We cannot miss just off chip to 8 feet and two putt that every single time. We've got to be able to roll a couple putts in to keep those scores down. But where do you go from here? What is the plan? I will try to touch base again in the next week or so, but what is Greg's plan to take this past weekend, get rid of it mentally, but improving it physically? What do you got in store?
You do know I'm basically a scratch golfer in a weight room. So got right back to it. Kettlebell drills, rotational stability drills, weight shift drills, stuff like that with in the weight room.
Hold on to those drills, because next time I do want to get a little bit more detailed and let our listeners know some of the workouts that you are doing, and we can share with everybody to make sure they're improving their fitness levels for golf. So I love what I'm hearing, but make sure to write those down so we are ready to talk about those on air next time.
Oh, 100%. Maybe I just make a video and post it on our Twitter feed. But doing that, dry swings with 2 little ones, it's not like I escape away to the driving range much, but dry swings, I have purchased a net, and I have a little mat, if you will, that I can put in the side yard and hit foam balls on, just to work on striking. And not to sound like Tin Cup, but I did purchase a swing aid. I don't know if you recognize this when I was sitting next to you on the car ride home, but I did just in a fit of weakness purchased a swing aid. So I purchased the Tour Strike, the ball that sits in between your forearms and it dangles around your neck. It looks like you have a Flavor Flav clock on your neck. And it just teaches you to not have a chicken wing, because as soon as you mentioned that it was there, it just stuck out in my mind. So I actually bought 2. You're going to get one for Christmas.
There we go. Maybe a little bit earlier. Maybe earlier than Christmas.
I might deliver it to you. Yeah. Before. When's your birthday? It's September. It's just like mine, but maybe Father's Day. Father's Day gift. I'll give it to Courtney for Mother's Day, and then you can use it. You can use it.
There we go. That's what I was going with there. Yeah, I think I sent this to you in the fall.
Yeah, you sent it to me a while ago.
And I think it's something that could help you, especially with the dry swings, because I know you can't get out there. And I've been very fortunate. Mine come out and either hit balls or putt, but they have a little bit more attention span to at least stay off the mat when I'm hitting. They'd sit there. Sometimes don't tell the wife, I do let them bring their iPad up there and I hit balls as they do. Especially when it's been colder. When it's warmer, I do want them more moving around, but the weather's got to change a little bit. But yeah, we get out there, we hit a little bit, they hit a little bit. It's been working out for me a little bit. So I know you don't have that luxury that I do. But you'll get there. They'll be there before you know it. You'll be fine. But that's what I'm doing as well, too. I'm trying to recover myself back a little bit in the weight room every day, trying to get something strength-wise 4 to 5 times a week, run 4 to 5 times a week. I am trying to work in more kind of days off. Now, the days off are not golf days off. They're just, they're not running or not strength training. I have been able to, we walk 9 holes, both nines I played this week. I walked in wet conditions. It's even harder to walk because it just, one, your feet feel like they weigh 10 extra pounds, but just the footing and everything. So I do feel beat up even walking 9 holes. Like I feel it a lot more than riding.
We got to get better golf shoes then.
It's in the works. The root canal put a hold on that a little bit, but I did have to pay for that. So
maybe people in the comments, go ahead and shout us out some great, lightweight, athletic looking, waterproof golf shoes.
Yeah. And if any companies want to hook us up, we'll definitely test some brands out for that or some models out for you as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with our nice gear that we're wearing now. It'll look really good out there. But yeah, that's where I want to go. I don't want to technically change anything. I do have some swing thoughts that I'm working on. I'm trying not to get myself stuck too far inside on my swing. The one video we did took of each other, I do think I did that little sawed off swing. It was a little windy and I was trying to take a little bit off a wedge. So I want to chalk that up. But I wondered if it was so easy to do and I didn't even realize it. Was I doing it more throughout the course? But I do like to flight the ball a little bit. And since I wasn't finding that center spot, I am trying to work on not getting stuck behind me and then staying inside, coming in more of a level plane.
I was hitting the ball even higher than I usually do, which was awkward.
A couple, especially your irons and your driver too. Actually, I thought that was peaking out well over that 100, 110 mark that they look forward to at its highest point. So, but I really don't think we have to change anything. I was glad I got off our chest a little bit about our intensity levels that we brought and make sure we keep it real, keep it fun. Because in the long run, that's what we're trying to do is we want to make sure this game is still fun, make sure we're still having a good time.
I think we need more trash talk in a playful banter manner rather than just straight competitors. Because I went into like postseason tournament mode where I'm just zeroed in and I'm either happy as a clam or pissed off beyond belief.
You know what was weird is I think if we would have rode together like we always do in pretty much every tournament,
one round.
I know. And I think if we would have just been together, we would have been fine.
It's hysterical. That was my lowest round of the week.
Was it really? There we go. I don't know what it would have kind of maybe calmed us because I do think our golf we take golf a little bit more serious than maybe the other guys that were with us. And maybe we needed each other to bounce off of to get us going. I don't know. Maybe lesson learned. Make sure we know we definitely have our first round in any golf trip we go on. We needs to be together.
Didn't have a range finder for an entire round, actually 2 rounds. Cause it didn't work this after we picked it up.
That's true. But you got it back.
That's true. I did get it back.
I lost mine in the fall.
That's true.
I lost mine in the fall. Yeah. Another thing, listeners, please leave us what rangefinder do you use? And if you got extra ones, I'm telling you, we're always looking for them. Unfortunately, we leave them on the cart a little bit too much. But tell us which ones to use. We're trying to look for some things to get us better.
If only we had a gigantic arm that we could hook our rangefinder to as well, like we do our phone, we probably wouldn't forget it as much.
That's true. I tell you, the one I have right now, it's got slope on it. Game changer. I'll be honest with you. It's a game changer. I mean, there's times, especially with Stone Lee, it's so hilly. I'm shooting the flag. It's 95 yards. I'm shooting the flag. It's 75 yards. It's telling me it's playing 95 yards. I mean, you're talking about a whole, half a club there, if not a full club difference.
And is that USGA approved now?
I believe it is.
In tournaments, obviously not pros because you can't use range riders, but
I don't 100% know. I do know that courses and pros play more the adjusted number than the normalized number. And I know what they're talking about when they say that they are talking about slope. So I don't know. But for right now, I'm pretty happy with it. I'm not disappointed at all. If I get the ball a little bit closer, I'll take advantage of it right now. And until I start playing in those USGA events, which after the weekend, maybe a little bit longer than we were thinking.
Well, I might tell you the truth. I might be the one wearing the white jumpsuit with Botter on the back of my shirt saying, okay, give me your slope finder and I'll go ahead and I'll shoot you 175 playing 182.
That is true. I'm one point up right now. So I got three more victories to go.
They're going to be three hard fought victories.
I hope they are. We'll figure it out. I just want to get to where we are playing straight up, no strokes, because I think you could get there. It may not be this year, maybe next year, but I think this is something we're going to stick to. I've had nothing but fun doing not only this podcast with you, but playing as well. We did let our competitive nature take over a little bit, but I think it's something we'll learn from. But I can't say it doesn't go back to how good we looked. We looked good. We felt good. We just need to make sure
played good.
Yeah. So that's what we're about. Fairway fit. We want to look good, feel good, and play good. We just need to get to that play good part and still understand that maybe 80 is playing good. Maybe 85 is playing good. We can't be perfect.
Maybe not losing the ball off the tee every hole is playing good.
Yeah, definitely. Because Myrtle Beach can eat you up in a heartbeat. Kind of like that gator that almost ate Anthony's ball that was a whole 3 feet away.
I can't believe he didn't want to hit that one. I had to hit with a baby gator like 2 feet behind my ball. I was looking for mama gator the entire time.
He didn't even want to go near the creeks, which we thought there was a gator in there. He wanted nothing to do with that. He was a believer with Chubbs. They took his hand. He did not want to lose his hand and get ready to go. So
I also want to publicly apologize to Folds of Honor, the fact that I purchased a 3-pack of Pro V1Xs from you for $20, which is well worth the cause. I totally support the cause, but I'm pretty sure I ran through those balls in about 4 holes. So I apologize that I didn't get more use out of them. But if anybody is playing Caledonia in the next week or two, and you find the Folds of Honor balls with a blue dot underneath the number, feel free to pick it up and play it, okay?
That's your contribution to the next golfer out there. I don't mind that. So, well, I think we got a good plan moving forward. I did enjoy the trip. I'm glad we were able to reflect about it. We need to sit down and narrow down when our next major is going to be. We will get that announcement out as soon as we can. Look back for us in about a week or so. Look forward to hearing everybody. Make sure to like us, subscribe, and we'll check you next time. See you at the 9th grade at 9.